When Mildred returned to check on Jack, the albino teenager was sleeping soundly and sporting a slight smile on his face. She put a hand over his forehead to gauge his temperature. He felt normal.
You're doing better.
At first, Jack didn't stir, but when she repeated her words, his eyes fluttered open. They were a bit red and shinier than usual, but she attributed that to everything he'd been through these past couple of days.
How do you feel?
Good.
We'll be heading out later today after the challenge. Think you're up to it?
No problem.
We're all going to the arena now. You'll be watching with Doc and Eleander.
No problem.
That seemed like a strange response from Jack. Even though he was still recovering from his injury, Mildred would have expected Jack to want to be in on the challenge. Instead, he was content just to sit on the sidelines and watch. That wasn't like him. But then again, maybe he was growing up and maturing, knowing his limitations.
Come on, I'll help you down off the bed.
Without a word, Jack rolled over and got onto his feet. He struggled to stay upright and had to put a hand onto the bedpost to steady himself. But after a few moments, he was standing on his own.
Oh, you're doing better than I thought.
Jack just smiled. Mildred found the smile curious. It wasn't the smile of someone who was pleased with his progress. It was the smile of someone who was somewhere else, like in another world.
Let's go. Doc will take you to the arena.
Eleander met up with Doc and accompanied him on his way back to their room to collect Jack and bring him to the arena. Doc greeted the woman with a hug and a kiss, and took the time to smell her hair, which seemed as if it were scented with ambrosia.
The Baron makes his own soaps. Flowers for the women and musk for the men.
Scented soap. Amazing. In all my time in the Deathlands, I have never come across anyone who was so enterprising in his reclamation of some of the more subtler aspects of civilization.
The Baron is a bit of a mad genius.
He would have to be to put so much effort into making things smell good.
Doc took a step back so he could look Eleander in the eye.
But I am grateful to the man, or should I say, de man, for making such a beautiful flower smell as good as she looks.
Eleander's face turned a pale shade of red. As they turned to start toward Doc's quarters, Eleander grabbed Doc's arm.
You know, Theo, it's not all flowers and sunshine here.
Of course not. No Ville ever is. But from what I have seen, it is a better life than most can ever hope for in the Deathlands.
From what you've seen are the key words. There's a lot you haven't seen, a lot you don't know about.
What are you trying to tell me?
Do you recall yesterday when you asked what was behind the door in the laboratory?
Yes, of course. You didn't want me going in there, and I understood that completely. I know that some things are meant to be kept secret. If the Baron is doing research into new chemicals, he would not want people poking around in his work without his knowledge. It is simply a matter of respect, and I am perfectly content to give the man his due. Believe me, I would have appreciated it immensely if people had not tampered or experimented with my own research.
Eleander was silent for a long time after that.
What is it? Have I offended you in some way?
No, not at all. On the contrary, you've actually shamed me.
Shamed you? Oh, please accept my humblest apologies.
No need to apologize. Indeed, I'm the one who should apologize to you.
I'm afraid I do not understand.
They sat down on the concrete wall of an ancient flower bed, long overgrown by weeds.
I haven't been telling you the whole truth about this, Phil, and I feel badly for it.
Whatever you've kept to yourself, I am sure you've had your reasons. But if there is something my friends and I should
the
know...
The Baron doesn't only produce medicines here. He also grows and refines a lot of bad drugs, like Wolfweed, Jolt, and Dream. And there's others who have tampered with what he's accomplished to produce even more potent drugs.
I appreciate your candor, my dear sweet Eleander. But I suspect Ryan and the others have already arrived at that conclusion, and therefore that is why we shall be leaving this Ville immediately after we're done with this silly little game the Baron has arranged for us.
The Baron deals in Jolt and Dream, and even though he sometimes uses them both, he doesn't allow it to be traded freely inside the Ville.
A foolish and wise man all at the same time. But if there are drugs produced here, there's no way he could prevent them being bought and sold on the black market.
But the Baron isn't the dangerous one in the Vill. The one you have to be careful of is Sect Chief Robards.
Oh?
He doesn't know anything about making drugs, but he's persuaded a bunch of whitecoats to create new drugs for him. New and deadly drugs, including a powerful hallucinogen called Bang.
Bang? That's what one of the muties we encountered wanted from us.
Yes. The Sect Chief has been experimenting with a drug on a community of somewhat intelligent muties on the fringes of the Vill who call themselves the Inheritors. He gave the drug away, and it's highly addictive. Those two muties you rescued us from were addicted Inheritors. It has devastated their community.
And it acts on their central nervous systems, producing changes in moods and hallucinations.
That's right.
And it obviously produces suicidal feelings too, does it not? Which would explain why those muties climbed the wall last night when they knew they'd be slaughtered.
Yes, and lately it's even been causing worse mutations in long-term users.
And you think this monster of a Sect Chief is out to hurt us? Surely he could have chilled us all a dozen times over if he wanted.
I can't be sure what he has in mind, but I do know that he's plotting to get rid of the Baron. I think he's going to try to use your friends as a scapegoat.
But how? The Baron won't be in the arena, and the blasters used in the challenge are little more than toys.
I said I don't know exactly how, but I have a feeling the challenge is a small part of a larger plan to overthrow the Baron. You see, the Baron has never been very fond of Outlanders, since it was a group of Outlanders like yours that chilled his brother at Spearpoint. Things like your staying overnight and the challenge in the arena are, well, unusual for this Vill.
Spearpoint? I've been there, or rather, I was there to see it blown to kingdom come.
Eleander put a hand on Doc's shoulder.
Promise me you'll be careful today.
I assure you, my lady, if I am anything, I am always careful.
I'm happy to hear that.
He extended his right arm so that Eleander could hold it as they walked.
Now, come. We must warn the others.
Baroness Lashini made herself comfortable in one of the bleacher-style seats that had been brought to the edge of the arena on the back of a wag. Baron Deman, the Baron's mistress Moira, Robart, and a few other specially invited VIPs would be using the seats. And, she'd been told, so would two of the Outlanders and one of the Vill's whitecoats that one of the Outlanders had taken a shine to.
When do you want to signal the others?
Baroness Lashini lit a cheroot she'd carried with her for several weeks, waiting for a special occasion. The painful death of her son's killer was just the sort of event she'd been waiting for.
Not yet. Things are too quiet right now. Let's wait to see how this challenge goes. I have a feeling things are going to be all fucked up in this Vill by the time it's over and done with.
The Baroness took a few puffs on the cigar and made a sour face. The tobacco had turned bad. She tossed it aside and it bounced off the bleacher, then tumbled onto the ground where it burned slowly, sending two thin tendrils into the air.